Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We're the word association.
Heard.
The implication.
Deserve.
Evaluation.
We're the word
association.
We're the word
association.
We heard.
The implication.
Deserve.
Evaluation.
We're the word
association.
Land ho! Everyone off the ship. Of course, it's me, Adel Rafai. We're also joined by Koala Lyons here and Bobcat Rob White. I guess I'm Adel Rafox. How do we feel about those animals? Is that fun?
I guess
Bobcat.
Were we supposed to bring another one, like a 2x2, like Noah's Ark boat situation?
Yes, a Noah's Ark. Of course, every carpenter had to bring a 2x2. Because they're going to build another ark.
I mean, what the fuck are you going to do? The rain stopped.
Can I edit mine? Can I tweak mine just a touch?
Rob, can I apologize?
Yeah.
I meant to say Robcat.
Oh, that's Robcat pretty White, good.
Like a bobcat, like a Robcat. But I misspoke because I'm so used to saying the actual animal and not your name.
Okay. How about, can I make two edits now that you said that? Can I be Robcat Gold White?
Even better. Oh, my God.
How about Robin not thick?
Total pivot, but also good, Brett.
He's kind of an animal.
The reason we crashed
is blurred lines.
The reason our boat has stopped is because we crashed on the shores because we were called to land by the siren song of our guest today. Please welcome, I want to say Matt Young. Hey, Matt.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That's good.
And Matt. Legally, we have to notify you of this. We did find out three episodes ago, that Brett is a koala bear. So just know that.
Oh, that tracks. That makes a lot of sense to me. I just want to ask a follow-up question to something you said earlier already, Adel. You're so used to saying bobcat.
Well,
that's a really good follow-up question.
What could that possibly
mean? That's a great follow-up question.
Well, here's what I'll say. I went to grade school in Neponset, Illinois, and we were the Fighting Bobcats.
Ah.
So
and now into your 40s, you're still talking about that all the time.
He sings song. He sings the fight song every week.
Matt just casually saying my age.
I turned 50 next year. The fight song. I don't give a shit anymore.
Interesting.
The fight song was sung by Bobcat Goldthwait. So it's like, let's go, Bobcats.
Okay, so Matt,
we gotta win this game.
You gotta throw the ball downfield.
That's if you've never seen Hot to Trot, it's a lot of a.
I think a lot of people don't know the impersonation that we're doing right now, and I can't wait for them to look it up.
If I've never seen Hot to Trot, come on,
Bobcat Goldthwait, and I think a horse that can talk. Matt, because you said I'm in my 40s, which is I've been trying to hide that. My entire podcast career, you've totally fucked me.
Sorry.
Because you did that, I'm going to fuck you. No, it's fine. I just Googled net worth of Matt Young, and I just want everyone.
Oh, God.
I want everyone to know out there in the podcast land.
Can't be a thing.
Google has it nailed down at an approximation of $100,000 to $1 million.
Nice.
That's a good range.
Wow.
range.
Wow.
So
I didn't even think I would register on that. Are you sure it's me? There are a lot of guys named Matt.
Yeah. Now that you say that, it says place of birth, California, occupation, baseball
not
player.
Me.
This is a
yeah.
different
matter. No.
That's I mean back in your glory days. No, back in your glory days, you definitely could throw the ball around.
Yeah. I could throw the ball around.
I can see Matt as a catcher, like squatting down and then standing up and flipping off his mask and like charging the mound or something. I could see that. I don't know why he charges his own pitcher.
That's a really good. That's
because he keeps throwing the ball at me.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing, man?
The pitcher's like, catch the ball. You're like,
what is your
asshole?
Fucking problem? Stop throwing that ball at me.
You threw that so fast,
right at me.
There's a guy in front of me with a bat. I'm trying to protect myself from him. Then I get a ball in the head.
It's gonna be the other team. The other team's bench starts to clear, and they're like, "Oh, wait a minute! No, they're fighting each other. Never mind. Let's sit back down." That's
and then the other team's
bench seems to have a real attitude problem about just doing his job.
And then the other team's bench goes clear, which is mean they all convert to Scientology.
Right?
Whoa!
Yeah, pretty intense. Well, speaking of Scientology, Matt, welcome to the Church of Words. We're the Church of Words, and I'm going to go ahead and start us off. And my word that I'm bringing to the table today is carnival. I think it's just very fun to say. It's also associated with, I think, usually a good time. What do you guys think of carnival?
Yeah, I think it's associated with, it can be associated with a good time. It's associated with a certain type of folk, I think, right? So I think
now,
there's like
that,
the, yeah. I mean, I think
there's
like.
Is that considered a bad word? Is that considered a slur?
Folk?
No.
Come the on. Other oh. word, the carny. Carny.
Oh, carny. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, are you fucking kidding me? No, I think, I think the employees have sort of one thing, but I think it's fun to go to. So there is fun associated with it. Mm-hmm. It's a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. Can we say sure. that? Does that work?
I don't think anyone has to.
No. I would say 20 years ago when we went as younger folks, I think it was better than what it seems now. Because now it seems scary and dangerous because they haven't come up with any new rides.
Well, they
no
haven't
new carnival rides, and they're kind of just recycling the ones that we went on like 25 years ago. And now you only see stories about like, you know, local tilt-a-whirl crashes and, you know, someone gets injured.
I think all the rides got built in 1981 and that was it. They were done. Who's building rides in the year 2023? A year in which Adil Rafai is in his 40s.
Come on, man.
Now, I was never at carnivals. I was never the big ride person because it was always like tilt. It was like the zipper, which I think is the scariest one, which is basically just like they just put you in a pod and it just spins over and over again. There was also the Wheel of Fire, which was just that circle.
Wheel of Fire. I don't remember that one.
These might all be regional.
I think you saw a Johnny Cash concert. Is the zipper, is that the one? Because I remember one that was kind of looked like a UFO, and you would go inside, you would
Gravitron.
Stand up. Okay. And that's Megatron's wife?
Yes. No, but you would love the Gravitron.
You would go inside, and you would stand up against a wall, and then it would spin, and as you spun, the floor would drop out. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, like, that has to be very dangerous. And then I was probably 11, and then some carny, like, sat me down and was like, "You know about physics?" And I'm like, "Huh? You're missing a finger." And he's like, "The physics."
I got some questions
to
ask you. How does this machine work?
Yeah, a guy who looked like Steve Zahn during a rough patch.
No, the zipper, as I know it, was like a tower with almost like gondola baskets that were all like caged in, and like it would just turn, and you would just be like spinning. You would just be spinning the whole time, and that looked terrifying to me.
Oh, like a zipper.
Yes.
Yeah. That's where they got the name.
That's where they got the name, right?
Honestly.
Yeah.
My favorite part of coming home from a long day's work is I take out my little crank, I put it on my zipper, I turn it real fast to undo my pants.
That's how it works.
I was never a ride guy. I couldn't, as a kid, I would always get nauseous, I'd always get sick, so I couldn't do it. And then as an adult, I came around. And I was like, Six Flags, let's go to Six Flags and go in Superman the Ride or whatever.
That feels a lot safer.
It feels a lot safer.
There's
it's
a lot
different.
Of security checks, and there's a lot of people that maybe should be working that. I mean, there are a lot of, you know, just foreigners from Ireland working at Six Flags because that's what they have to bring in town now to work there in Disney or whatever. But it feels safer. I agree with you.
But now I'm 180. I don't want to go on a ride anymore.
Wow. I'm in my 40s. Matt's 180. Everyone, you heard it here first. Matt, I do want to ask, you're a comic book aficionado. Would it make a good issue? Is this something maybe we should collaborate on? If there's an episode of Superman where someone dies on the Superman roller coaster and he is just like devastated and he's like, I've been so focused on fighting crime that I didn't realize my own branding, my own sort of reach with my popularity and image has caused someone pain or strife or loss.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I don't know that they've ever, of all the 80 plus whatever fucking years of Superman there are, a lot of which are very boring. I don't, the in world, there definitely are points where like you see people have Superman merchandise. Like it's a thing in the world.
Okay.
So like, I don't know if anyone's ever talked about like, does he make money off that? Because nobody's supposed to know who he is. Like, who's licensing that? Can he sue them? Like, yeah, there needs that needs to be a whole arc for
my
sure.
My favorite year of him was when he was Superman and he just managed buildings around town.
Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, yeah,
the super. Yeah. It was him and Joe Pesci, I think.
Him and Joe Pesci were Superman.
That's a great movie.
I think also if Superman does that, if we do that comic, I also think it should, the reveal should be the person didn't really die on the roller coaster. The Six Flags mascot, which is a terrifying old man who dances to the Venga Boys in a bow tie and suit, should be the villain. And they did something.
Whoa. What if all the money went to an LLC and the LLC stands for Lex Luthor Corporation?
Whoa.
That sucks.
And he's profiting all the, it's a long con. He's making all the money off of Superman.
Makes a lot of sense.
Evil Empire.
Matt, you're also a Star Trek fan. What if we took Khan and he was in some device and he got elongated and that's a long con and he's, and it's sort of a fun thing. It's a visual gag. Matt, I'm sorry that you came on here.
Yeah, me too.
Question to go back to Carnival now. Are carnivals always traveling or can they be fixed? Is there like a fixed location carnival or do they typically always travel?
I think they're traveling all the time.
Because I'm just wondering if the definition extends to both or
spay or neuter your carnivals.
Please.
It's an amusement park if it's fixed, right?
Yes.
Right. Well, is there a size though? Is there a point where the size tips to amusement park, but if it's smaller, it could be a carnival?
Like village to town kind of thing?
I don't know.
Two parking lots worth of space is a carnival. Yeah.
Whenever I hear carnival, I picture that it's like it's being set up in a space for a couple of weeks and then it goes somewhere else.
I agree. It's inherently transient.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay to get in. You have to pay once you're in. You got to pay to get out. Tickets and stuff like that, where I feel like an amusement park, you got to pay just to get in and then everything's covered.
Although recently I feel like, and I don't know if it's like a branding thing or what's going on, but I feel like anytime I see some sort of carnival on the side of the road or there's some publication or people are talking about it word of mouth, it's always there's a fair in town and then the fair has a carnival, or I don't know if those are the same thing, but it has carnival rides in it. So fair seems to be the new terminology that people are mostly using.
Yeah. Fair though indicates to me that there'd be some element of, having grown up in downstate Illinois, indicates to me there's some element of like people come and show their cows.
Yeah, I was thinking animals as well.
Or maybe there's
well.
Like art for sale as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's more of like a commerce or showcasing of products sort of related to a fair.
What is everyone's favorite carnival food? I mean, I love the funnel cake elephant ear. Mm-hmm. That was always my go-to. And when I worked at the carnival, that's what I made. I made the elephant ears.
Hold the fuck on. Why are we just now getting to the fact that you worked at a carnival? Why wasn't it the first thing you said?
Well, because it was, first of all, it wasn't called a carnival. It's called the Fall Fest. Similar kind of like fair-ish type thing, but it was definitely brought into town by carnival workers. And then I worked in like, we had a Boy Scout booth. You know,
they
so we didn't
Boy
travel
Scouts
with
frying dough.
Yeah, we didn't travel with the carnival, but like when the carnival came to town, and this is kind of falls into then the fair aspect of it, like then locals would join in and have their own booths and stuff like that. So we were in charge of the elephant ears, the potato.
Oh, spiral potato.
Spiral potatoes, which fantastic. We just had a guy made a thing where you just put the potato on the end of a drill and then you pushed it into a pencil sharpener. Basically, and it made that spiral super quick. And then we did lemonade shakeups.
How the old Girl Scouts, are you? The Girl Scouts did the potato spirals, right? Were they frying those?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. I was probably 12, 13.
What? You were too young to be operating a fryer.
Agree.
For sure.
Agree.
Yeah. No way,
you
man.
You shouldn't be around hot oil now.
I had a job. This is not fair related, but it made me think of this. I worked at Dairy Queen for a couple summers, like right out of high school. Mm. And I would work on the grill for, I don't know, whatever, two summers that I was there. And I was only like 17, and I came to find out I was not supposed to be legally working there at all.
That sounds about right.
On the grill. So if I made you sick in 1992, I'm sorry.
I would please someone email us twapod@gmail.com and have a claim against Matt.
Or if somebody ever had an undercooked elephant ear given to them by a 12-year-old, let us know too.
Yes. Possibly.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say, Brett, you just mentioned it. I think my number one food, it's a drink. Lemon shake-ups are my number one. And I can't really, I know they have probably more sugar than lemonade, and I know they're shaken, but I can't really distinguish why they taste so much better than just plain lemonade.
It straight up was water, and then we would squeeze two whole lemons in it, and then we would put a teaspoon of sugar in it, or a tablespoon of sugar in it, shake it up, send it out.
Yeah, I didn't think there's a secret ingredient, but I just could explain why. Just let you know the actual
ingredients for it and what why the you catalyst liked it so was. Much.
I'll also say, Brett, because you didn't bring up that you were a carny, I also Googled your net worth. Here's Brett Lyon's net worth. Google says $1 to $5 million. Wow. And then I took another look, and it says profession, hockey player.
There's a Brett Lyon's hockey player?
Is there? Yeah. I know there's a doctor. There's a doctor, Brett Lyon's. I know that, and it ain't me.
I'm scared to Google Rob White, so we won't do that. Speaking of Brett Lyon's, Brett, why don't we go ahead and get to your word?
Okay. Crazy enough, I did not know your word previously, but my word is coaster.
Oh.
Wow.
Serendipity.
And I'm going to go with, we can certainly go with amusement park rides, but I'm right away thinking about, protecting wood surfaces.
And that's what I was thinking.
And that, or somebody who just doesn't put a lot of effort into life and just kind of gets by.
What is
kind of
gap?
Two things that I think of.
So I'm thinking of two types of people and they have the same goal, but there's a wide chasm between them. So if you put down a coaster to protect your table, you're obviously concerned about wood. Mm-hmm. If you tie or chain yourself to a tree so that they can't cut it down, you're also concerned about wood. What is the chasm between those two things?
Person protecting one is like it's a downed tree that they're protecting. I think they're just after different things. You've already the tree that you're protecting from a coaster is dead. It's furniture.
Didn't expect a real answer, but thank you, Rob.
Sorry. Yeah. I don't know.
There's probably one guy who loves a stick and sleeps with it every night.
Busted. Okay, so how do we think this guy met this stick? We're talking like he was picking up sticks for like kindling. Do we think it was on his front porch? Do we think his dog brought it to him after he threw a ball? And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Who's this sexy thing?
I think it was in his yard. There was a tree in his yard and lightning hit it. And rather than make a bat out of it, he's like, you know what? I'm going to sleep with this thing.
Yeah. And it's a sizable stick. It's a good like walking stick size stick.
Yeah.
Like it's something you can really.
And all the doctors know him in town because they got to take splinters out of his dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Weekly.
Yeah, you got to be able to get your meat hooks on it for sure.
What do you think a meat hook is, Matt? What's the shape of your penis?
Isn't that my hand? Is it my hand when I cup it? Isn't that a meat hook?
Oh, yes, it says. Yeah.
Okay. I don't need that visual. Now,
what, me cupping my hands? What weird would I do with that?
I don't know. I just didn't like when you did both of them. It just looked
look,
weird.
Just look. Everyone, no one can see this except for you, Brett.
I'm letting people know that I can see it, and I don't like it.
You look like a Lego figure.
Nothing drives me more insane than coaster on the table, and it's there to protect the wood. But then your glass is sweating, and you pick it up, and the coaster comes with it, and then it falls off and rattles around, and then the water, and then the wood gets on the water anyways.
There's nothing you hate more than that?
Yeah, I really dislike it. I really dislike it.
I take issue
when it
with
comes
that.
To, when it comes to protecting my wood, yes.
We are going
to
write this down. We are... making a list. And Brett, if you ever bring up anything you say you hate more, we will take it to task. We'll put your feet to the fire about
That's fine. I hate a lot of things. A lot of things just really peeve me out, and I put them on a level of hate because I like when things work as they are supposed to.
Even though I won't be on this show every week, I want to be on that Google Doc and constantly checking it.
But you know, Brett, that does happen. But you know, I think after it happens once, you just have to put one finger down on the coaster and lift it up with the other.
Absolutely,
you have to adjust. You have to adjust to the, the circumstances.
It should work how it's supposed to be working.
It does. Corks. If water. There's science behind that. I'm sure of it.
One year for Christmas, my aunt gave me a set of stone coasters with a big letter Y on them for my last name, and I think they're pretty ugly, but I've used them for the last 10 years, regardless. I still have them. And every time I look at them, I'm like, I don't really like those.
Stone is intense. That's an intense coaster.
I don't hate them more than anything else, Brett.
Yeah. I mean, but to the credit, like, though, it's just a good product that you don't. No, stone doesn't stick. Stone
stays fine. I feel
like
stone would battle. I think that's a good solution for you, Brett.
I have some that are like pictures of places that I like in Chicago, and it was like, obviously it was a photo, and then it was like acrylic on top of it, and the acrylic,
what are some of the places that you like in Chicago that you have pictures of?
Hot Dogs. Dogs is one of them.
All right.
Carol's, the country western.
Did you make these coasters, or was this a set?
It was
alley behind the old IO.
Yeah. Well, funny enough, the guy who made them it was my next door neighbor when I did live behind the old IO. But yeah, no, it's just he's a local Chicago photographer. He actually did all the photographs that used to be in that Starbucks that was right behind IO. So all that wall art and stuff
that's right.
Then he had a business where he would take all his Chicago photos and you could pick and choose and make a set of four. So I did that. But I love the photos. They suck as coasters, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Something I want to bring up. So Matt, you're talking about your aunt gave you monogrammed coasters. We're the four of us have all spent time in World News Tonight, the improv show. Not too long ago, I want to say this is like a month ago or so, Rob and I were both at a World News Tonight Christmas in July party, and everyone kind of brought dishes and everything. And Rob sets down a plate, and I can't remember what was on it. I think it was like macarons or something. It was some delectable little French snack. And
macarons, I think is that what
macarons.
Called?
My wife
put that together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm having some, other people are having some, and as they're being plucked off the plate, I start to see letters unveiled, and I start to shift the cookies off the, or to the side of the plate, and right in the smack, it's a very beautiful plate, very large plate, and right smack in the middle, it just says, "The Whites," and I could not stop laughing. And then, Rob, why don't you tell us the origin of that?
Yeah, it was a wedding gift from one of my wife's friends, and there's no time to ever bring that plate out or use it, but
there really isn't.
Never.
But I thought, like, my wife was very smart in thinking, this is the perfect opportunity to bring this plate out, to bring it to a World News party, and just have that reveal, because it's actually a Chicago plate. It has, like, the Ferris wheel, Navy Pier. There's, like, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like it's got a Chicago border, and then whoever's last name just gets put in the middle, and for ours, it just says The Whites. And she didn't even take my last name, but it is really funny. And now it's at least got a purpose. So, yeah,
I mean,
still have it.
It's a pretty great gag.
It's a great gag. Yeah.
For a party with a bunch of improvisers.
Yep.
Other than that, for sure. Yeah, you should definitely throw that in the trash.
Yeah.
Also, it's pretty sad that you called a Chicago plate, but the two big landmarks on it are the Ferris wheel and Navy Pier.
Oh, no, the Ferris wheel at Navy. That's the only one I can remember off the top of my head. There are other things. It does not have carols. Yeah, the alley behind I.O. Absolutely.
Now, when you brought it home, did you do some whitewashing on it?
No, honestly, it did not get used for a long time, Brett.
So, in general, let's take the temperature in the room. Monograms, yes or no?
No.
I would say towels only.
Towels only. Okay.
Yes. Other than that,
Rob says no. Brett, what do you think?
I don't think I have.
I say no because if we did me and Mary, it would be BM.
Don't put that on a towel because they'll be ruined.
Or it would be DMB. So it would be Dave Matthews Band if we put Daddy's name on there.
So it's either shit or piss. Yeah.
It's either shit or piss.
I guess both are shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they dump pee or poop. Sorry, Matt.
Both. It was a combination.
Yeah, it was just the septic tank out of their van. So all of it.
So that's
I don't want a monogram on anything personally.
Yeah, I can't think of an item. I guess if somebody gives you a monogram pen, I don't know what it would be. Like a monogram handkerchief,
but
I don't ever use a handkerchief.
The biggest thing is bathroom towels, like bathroom like washing towels, or like you know, a towel that you have like hanging on the oven in the kitchen. I think that's about. That's as far as I want to go if I did have monograms.
Yeah, and it's fine if people says the whites.
It's fine if you have it, if it's what you want. Yeah. I just personally am like, I know who I am.
Right.
Yes, I don't need to be reminded or figure it out again.
Yeah.
I guess maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about always, but specifically, I guess back in like the 40s, 50s, 60s, if you bought a handkerchief, it's like, oh, there's like one company that makes handkerchiefs. And so they all look the same. And so it's like, but my initials is JPP, you know? So you want some sort of like, if people are putting them on a table or something, you want to be able to know which one is yours. But at this point in time, it seems like such a unnecessary, costly expense that it's just idiotic.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Also, definitely a vestige of something else that we don't need anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause there was a time where like, I think probably in like the 80s, 90s, people used to bring their own coffee cup to work and just leave it there. And there would, you'd open it up and there'd be like just a communal area where all the coffee cups were. And I guess you would want maybe something with your name on it, so people knew that's your cup.
At my old office that closed, the physical space closed during the pandemic, the company's still the same. It was a smaller startup company originally. And it, I did bring a couple of mugs there, but I always had like a Spider-Man mug. And it was like, well, if I see someone else using my Spider-Man mug, I know they stole my fucking mug.
Now with Spider-Man.
And you'd get like spider senses. You'd be like, yeah, someone's drinking out of my fucking mug.
I don't know if you guys had this, but I always, every office job I ever had, I brought nothing to work because my thing was I've never really been fired before, but if I ever was, I never wanted to have to carry a box. I just wanted to be like, I'll see you guys later and just leave, not have to carry anything. Nobody has to know. I don't know if maybe that was more of a movies trope, but just seeing the guy like walking down the sidewalk, holding the box, it has like a plant sticking out of it. You know, I don't know. I've always wanted to avoid that.
Everyone probably just thought at work you were like just a serial killer or something that just didn't have any emotion. Like, why does Rob just sit in a blank wall cubicle and he doesn't have anything and he won't tell us anything about himself?
That part's true too.
I used to put out, I worked at the Chicago Water Plant, which is right, speaking of Chicago landmarks, which is just a few, like 100 feet north of Navy Pier, and it also juts out into the water. That's the place that I worked at that when I started there, they're like, hey, just so you know, this is in the top three targets for terrorism in the United States. And I was like,
what?
Because that plant supplies the water or affects the water of like 22 to 25 million people because it's Chicago, greater Chicago area, northern Indiana, and somewhere else. And so by volume, it's like the largest sourced water in the U.S., whatever that is.
Yeah.
So when I started working there, I had to get like this badge and then there's a gate and then you get up and there's another checkpoint and then you have to do like a fingerprint. It was like a whole thing. And I would just get in there and be on the computer doing like admin work. Like it was just dumb. Wow.
Did you ever have to fight the Joker off?
He did come down in a chopper and I knew it was him because the chopper had his face with a big smile and then the pane of glass was
just
was
gives
his teeth.
It away.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that.
Yeah. He threw a playing card that had, I can't remember, it had some sort of powder on it. What is that? That is it iocane powder? Princess? Yeah. So it had iocane powder. So he threw it, but a gust of wind blew it back into his chopper and it exploded.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Augustus Galoot.
Oh, and I thought you were talking about Augusta, like in the golf club in Georgia.
I stopped listening.
That Augusta.
Okay, exactly.
You had a prime example. Prime time, Matt, you could add one more Augusta thing and you just couldn't, throw it in.
Didn't have it. So I had to zag.
Oh, but what I was going to say is when I worked, I didn't bring anything in terms of decorating my office or my desk. And I worked there for maybe 2.5 years, but I did at some point bring out, I was like, I should have a little, people stop by my desk, but have a little candy bowl. And what would happen that I eventually took it away from after a few months, took it down. What would happen is all these people would come up to me and like hit their fists on the table and be like, burr, 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 and be like, hey, how's it go? Like, did you see that crazy cloud outside? Or just make the dumbest small talk. They'd be like, I was coming into work and I saw a license plate that said like Tip Top. And I was like, wow, what is going on here? And then they would like be like, oh, candy. And they grab two or three pieces and then they'd be like, I'll see you later. And then the next person would come up and be like, hey, hey, ooh, you're wearing blue. You know, blue is whatever. And I'm like, uh-huh. And they'd be like, oh, candy. Is this candy for everyone? And I'm like, it's pushed to the lip of my desk. What do you think? So it's just, it became this catalyst for small talk. And I hate small talk. So I eventually broke it.
I know that a lot of people work remote now, but if you work in an office, I highly recommend that you get a candy dish like Adel did. Mm-hmm. Put it as close to the edge of your desk as you can and say, but put a little sign by it that says, feel free to take some, but you know you can buy your own, right?
Once you hit a certain age, it is insane to be like, whoa,
I can free buy a bag candy? Of candy? Wow.
Because as a kid, you're like, this is truly effort. This is a lot of effort, a lot of money I don't have.
I don't know if you had this in offices, but whenever somebody would bring in like a dozen donuts or like the baked good day, just seeing, you know, if I was just hanging out in the kitchen, seeing everybody walks in with like the same approach of like, oh, what do we have here? Oh,
no, yes.
I shouldn't. No, you know, I should. Well, you know what? I'm going to do it. And they'll either take a full donut or they will cut it in half and then later come back to get the other half. Like that process, just watching it repeat itself over and over and over again was always really fascinating for me.
We worked when I worked at the White Sox, someone would always bring in donuts. And there was also a guy who would bring in a White Castle Crave case every once in a while.
Wow.
Which is wild.
Interesting.
But we had a strict no cutting donut policy. One guy in the office hated when a donut was cut. So it was just like there was a sign on the wall that said, take the whole donut. You cannot cut this donut because he would be livid.
What Brett just said made me think, Rob, why don't you just put OX on the end of your plate?
Oh, nice. Go White Sox.
Oh, The White Sox. That's a great.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Then it's a conversation starter.
That's a really good. Yeah.
Just get a Sharpie. And
I can bring it to way more parties.
Yeah, exactly. This is a Cubs house. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, right. It's even more. Yeah.
Well, we're going to make Rob go ahead and do that on air. We're going to take a quick break while he does, and we'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back to the Word Association. To start things off for this second half here, I did Google Rob White net worth. Google says Rob White is worth approximately $100,000 to $1 million, which I think is what they put for everyone. But then I looked and it says nationality, British, occupation, TikTok star.
TikTok star. All right. Well, not a big TikTok star, clearly, if it's only 100K. But I would, as generic as my name is, I was really hoping there would be somebody more successful than
you should look up Throb White.
No, I'm not.
You should look up Throb White and see what
I'm not doing that to my search history.
See what the net girth is on Throb White.
Net girth.
Rob, do you think my name or your name is more generic?
That's a good...
It's a real toss-up.
It's a real toss-up. It's a real toss-up. It really is. I mean, I honestly don't know.
I'd vote Matt. I see young more than white.
Maybe slightly more common.
Slightly more.
Yeah. I mean, they're both. I mean,
we're neck and neck.
Yeah. Yeah. Google either one of us and
do you meet a lot of other Rob Whites in your real life?
No.
No.
Have you met Matt Youngs?
I have not met them in person.
Okay.
But I have been, I've worked at places that were big enough that other Matt Youngs, I get their emails sometimes. And I've had to have email addresses that are like Matt Young 2 or whatever.
Right.
To like not get their email.
Yeah. I would say about 15, 10 years ago, I started a Facebook group where I just friended all the other Brett Lyonses that were on Facebook.
That's a pretty good idea.
How's that going?
But it had to be correct spelling. It had to be two T's.
And you all went to January 6th together?
We went on the 7th. We went on the 7th to clean up.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, good.
That's a nice thing.
Matt, I will say That's almost fucking brilliant, because then they're like, we're looking for Brett Lyons. And it's like, you'll catch some of us, but a lot of us are getting away.
I will say the craziest thing, and then we'll get into Rob's word. The craziest thing ever was I was friends with two girls in high school. And then 10 years later, they just so happened to come to IO and saw a show I was in. And they were there with a friend they had met at college. And that friend's name was Brett Lyons.
Wow.
Weird.
And he showed me his ID. They showed me, it was confirmed. I saw his driver's license. It was just so bizarre.
That's like Lincoln and Kennedy and all their similarities. Very quickly before Rob says his word, I'll also say, Matt, speaking of Matt Young and people who have your name, maybe 3.5 years ago, my life became a living fucking hell because Gemma's cousin, and she never really, in our relationship, never brought him up before, but as we approached the wedding, Gemma's cousin is named Matt Young. He lives in Australia.
Oh.
And so she started, we were like sitting down for blah, blah, blah. And she showed me the seating chart for the wedding. And it was Matt Young seated with like her mom and her uncle or whatever. And I'm like, why are we putting Matt with, I'm like, can we put Matt with Arnie? Or like, what are we doing? And she's like, that's my cousin. I'm like, your cousin's full name is Matt Young? And since then, she'll be like, oh my God, Matt Young, like he crashed his car. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh my God, is he? I'll give him a text. And she's like, why would you text my cousin? I'm like, say your cousin. Stop saying Matt Young.
I forgot. I did meet another Matt Young at your wedding. That's right.
Yes. Rob, what is your word today?
All right. My word, I'm going to go with, I guess, an emotion or a feeling. I don't know. Just because I think it's fun to say. I'm going to go flabbergasted.
Ooh.
Flabbergasted. I'd like to throw some syllables out there. See what we can do with that.
That is a long word.
It's a long word.
That thankfully, when I wrote it down, it auto-filled in and I didn't have to spell it out. That's a long word that I got. I definitely would have gotten wrong.
Would any of you ever say, or has there been a time in your life where you feel like you were actually flabbergasted by something? Is that actually an emotional state you've been in?
That's a great, I was actually thinking about that when I thought to bring this word, if I've ever actually been flabbergasted, and also thinking about, does it have a negative connotation, a positive connotation? Can it be both? Is it more like you're just like, could it be like a teenager saying, hey, dad, I'm pregnant? You could be flabbergasted there, right? Or if it could be, you know, receiving some kind of news that's kind of positive, you could be flabbergasted. I don't know. I don't know the answer.
It's more than surprised.
Right.
It's sillier than flummoxed. So where does flabbergasted sit?
Yeah.
When are you flabbergasted?
Say, yeah. For sure, I've been flabbergasted several times in my life because I am a huge, that's not true. I count.
Oh, do you remember that one time, Brett, you were drinking and the coaster stuck to your glass?
Honestly,
you were like,
flabbergasted.
What?
I was not flummoxed. I was flabbergasted. No, I am big. My wife and I are big magic fans. So we go see a lot of magic, and we see a lot of close-up magic.
Okay.
And at the same time,
seats, Shaquille O'Neal, Anthony Hardaway.
Yeah. At the same time, we're usually inebriated and sometimes high, and that can take you from a regular surprise to definitely flabbergasted about how something was done.
Brett, I take everything back. That is 100% right.
That's a good.
I was actually flabbergasted at the Penn & Teller show I saw several years ago because I was like, that what I just saw was impossible. It's not possible.
And it makes you flabbergasted because they tell you this is how we do the trick.
Right.
And then they do the trick and you still can't figure it out. And that is, then you're like, well, this is, I'm flabbergasted because you know they told you and you still can't figure it out.
I very much enjoy magic. I don't think I'm ever flabbergasted. Like to me, it's never that level of impressive. What I'm more impressed by, because I always know there's a trick. Like, I always know it's like, right. I don't know what it is, but it's something. But I think what I'm flabbergasted by, or maybe the only times I've been flabbergasted, is by physical, like a compilation of physical feats, usually in the form of like Cirque du Soleil or something. Like, if I see one of those shows, then I'm like, there's one guy doing a handstand on one arm while like with his legs spinning a woman who's like curled in a ball. And by that, when I see that, I'm like, that's when I'm flabbergasted. I'm like, how the fuck does a human body do that? How do you ever learn you have that skill? How do you not like break 30 people before you get the hang of it? Like that to me is more impressive than magic where it's like, I know something's going on.
So you have to be surprised and impressed to be flabbergasted.
I think so.
There has to be an element of surprise, of an unexpected something, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's go around.
Can you win the lottery and be flabbergasted?
I think so. When you hear the news, when you see the numbers being called.
Well, you're kind of more in shock, though.
I don't know. You can't be flabbergasted. Like, how the, what the, I da, but the, right? Isn't that, couldn't that be a flabbergast?
Maybe. Well, here's what we're going to do. This is our, we're bringing a new segment called Flabbergast, where we're each going to guess. We're going to go around in a circle, and we're going to each going to guess what the perfect noise is, not non-verbal. There's no words.
Okay.
To convey flabbergasted. I'll go first since I started this. Here we go.
Do you need a prompt or something? Do you want
to? Matt, that would be great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I got one real quick.
Oh, you got one? Go.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, you see, the needle never pierced the balloon.
That was, okay. Can I just say, that was really hard to do because that's magic. And I specifically said, I'm still an amazing actor, so I was able to pull it off.
It was,
but I also sounded like, what I didn't want to do is sound like a Super Saiyan. I didn't want to sound like Vegeta going,
right.
Or some sort of, you know.
Like
that's
a
what
video
I didn't
game effort.
Do. Yes. Yeah. So Brett, you fucked me. Let's go. Brett, why don't you go next?
Adel, I will say, it sounded a little bit like you had the vapors.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is a terrible timing because I have consumption and the vapors. I just went to the doctor.
Oh no!
I'm so sorry.
He said I have every old timey disease. So Brett, why don't you go next, and I'm gonna give you a prompt.
Okay.
Mr. Lyons, I think it's been fairly obvious for the past couple of years, but I am here as a doctor to tell you medically that is not your baby. Sorry, a goose came in. Get out of here. Get out of here. That's why we don't have doctor's offices on the lake.
I couldn't react to it because the prompt was honestly so bad. I mean, that's terrible news to hear. That's not anything I'd be flabbergasted. I'd be destroyed.
So hold on, Brett. Do we add this to the list?
Do we add what? Your prompts to flabbergasted stuff?
To the list, Brett. The list
you
of
can
things
add to the list.
You hate
you
more than
I
anything.
I didn't like
okay?
it. All right. Well, all right. Between okay, so Rob or Matt, that's who's left.
Matt,
who's
I will, Matt, I'll give you a prompt.
Okay, great.
I don't know if you know this, but you can actually buy your own candy.
What?
Wait a minute. Hold on. I call bullshit.
Is that a word? Is it too wordy?
No. Here's the problem, Matt. It was perfection, but that's also the noise you make constantly as Usador.
That's very true. But he's constantly flabbergasted, so that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Huh?
It's just that. Okay, Rob, I got a prompt for
okay.
you.
Okay. I cleared my throat to be flabbergasted appropriately. Okay.
Hey, Rob, can you come over here for a second? There's someone I wanted to introduce you to.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I just wanted to introduce you to your own ghost.
Was that the ghost?
That sounded like the ghost.
Yeah, now what sound do you make when you meet the ghost?
No, I think the ghost was freaked out. You didn't have any stuff in your cubicle.
Just to hand out awards, I will say Matt is the only one who gave a prompt that was worthy of being flabbergasted. So Matt, you win the round by having the best prompt.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you.
Because that was a needle and balloon. Come on, man.
I mean, come on. What's the matter with that? Sorry.
I would just go, huh?
Sorry, I didn't give you the, and now I will attempt to balance on my penis while a plate spins out of my asshole.
Dracula?
What?
What? Dracula? Please, could you lower the lights in the room?
Ladies and gentlemen, please do not be alarmed. A Dracula is loose in the theater.
What?
Yeah, I'm really trying to think of it. I don't know a time that I've actually been flabbergasted, but there was one time I watched a Robin Williams movie and I was really flubbergasted.
No.
I hate that I love that. Oh, I'll also say, I'd say like what humans are capable in terms of like physical feats or whatever it is. I'll also say the other thing that I've maybe been flabbergasted by is like vistas, like being in like Switzerland and seeing a view of, or being in Iceland and being like, oh, I need to pull over the car because this is one of the most beautiful images I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And just standing there in awe of just being like, holy cow, I can't believe this is.
Yeah, fjordgasted.
What's that now?
Fjordgasted.
Okay.
Say it one more time.
Fjordgasted.
Got it.
Matt, I should say, Brett was recently, speaking of Dracula's, he was bitten by the Swedish chef, so he's slowly...
What are you guys talking about?
This room is a little dirty, dirty.
Dirty, dirty.
I'll have the salsa verde. Salsa verde. Matt, I will now be very aware in my life as I continue, hopefully, that of when I am maybe flabbergasted, and I'll try and remember what noise I make. Matt, what is your word that you've brought today to the Word Association?
The word that I'm bringing today is the word feast.
Ooh. Immediately, the first thing that pops in my head, and I don't want it to be, I picture the huge dude who's like, he's like triple Hagrid's, and he's wearing like a green velvet robe, and he has a wreath in his hair, and he's one of the ghosts of Christmas. He's the ghost of Christmas something. Present?
Okay. From Muppet Christmas Carol?
Well, I think it's from Charles Dickens.
Any of them. Most of them have that guy.
No, I think it's from the Muppets.
The Muppets. But I feel like he always has like a feast around him, right? Or maybe he says the word feast, but I don't know why that popped in my head without me sort of
I think trying. That is like the most classical interpretation of that character. Yeah. No, that makes sense that would be the thing you think of.
I think, you know, another word for gout could be a feast infection. Right? But it is interesting to think about, God. Like with feasting, it feels like that was a really to sell a sell. There weren't parties. It was like, let's have a feast. Let's have a feast. That was at a certain time. That was like a really big deal to just eat all.
I imagine a very like a medieval castle with one long table. And there's like multiple turkeys on there and like big, cakes and all that stuff. When you think feast, it's like, oh, okay, that huge thing.
Now,
usually it's on one table.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I would never describe it this way now, but is Thanksgiving a feast?
That's a good.
Depends. Depends on.
It could be, I guess. Yeah.
I think some people can really go for it with Thanksgiving. So it really is a feast.
Here's
spread.
It dates back to it was a feast, you know. I think its origins are that it was a large feast between the pilgrims and the Indians. So I think in its origins, it's there.
I think it depends on quantity and also quality. Because if you go, I've been to like Thanksgiving dinners or something where it's like, there's a turkey, but then it's also like there's a bag of marshmallows. Yeah. There's somebody brought like double stuffed Oreos.
Right.
Yeah, there's whatever else. And you're like, this is not a feast.
No.
So you it has to be quality as well.
You can have a whole shit ton of Taco Bell. That's not a feast.
Not a feast. Well, a vending machine is not a feast.
I don't know though. Seeing, I mean, I think if the meal stated is done right, then I think it could be a feast. So I think if you were like, we're getting Taco Bell, we're getting this, and it's done right, and it's not a hodgepodge of stuff, I think you can call that a feast.
Is there a fast food that has feast? I feel like there must be, right?
Lobster
like
feast.
Is that one? I was trying to think if there was like something like a feast
I think
pack
KFC,
or
I think KFC
was
has,
there something? I feel like there must be, but I can't think of anything.
Like it was the Colonel's Feast, I think.
McDonald's had that feast or famine promotion where you came in and you just spun a wheel and you got either something or nothing.
The best promo.
She would gently roast you. Yeah.
$5.
You got nothing. Big Mac or you got a copy of Grapes of Wrath.
And people feast or famine would give you, she would give you a cake and you cut into it and you're like, it's solid. And she'd be like, not a cake.
Now, if you eat too much at Thanksgiving, do you then have the mark of the feast around your mouth?
Absolutely.
Maybe you do.
For sure.
And if you get a little drunk, we play Gloria Estefan's Get On Your Feast.
Wow, Rob, Matt, you brought in a great word that literally just trying to play off of so hard.
It's all puns. I think it's like the food itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, when you say a feast, it doesn't require action. Like people don't have to consume. Like if everyone's at the table eating, is that the feast? Or is the feast the potential held within the dishes?
The spread.
In my mind, the feast is the event because you could be feasting, I suppose, verb.
Yeah.
Is that a verb in that context?
Feast? I think
That's, Matt, that's interesting because I've read, I think a lot of obviously George R.R. Martin or other fantasy authors. I feel like I've seen passages that are like, I feasted upon his flesh, which to me, unfortunately now indicates it can just be one person eating anything. And maybe it's like the energy or the zeal behind it that distinguishes what a feast is.
Not necessarily to a point where it's gluttonous, but it's almost like right before gluttony, where if you've had a lot, you've feasted on it, but obviously too much, and now you become gluttonous.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think it is. It's all about context, right? It's the event, but it is also the intent of yeah. the
oh that
and consumer.
That's a great slogan.
I really like that.
The event and the whatever. The
that's great. I mean, put that in the commercial and have Diane Feast.
It's recorded. You can
read it.
Diane Feast. Was Diane Weist reference?
Yeah, then put it in nice. Diane Feast. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We all knew it. We were
She's
all there
still with
yeah.
us, right?
I think so.
She yeah, better yeah. be.
She hopes so.
Oh, yeah. She was just in whoever created Yellowstone. He had a show with Hawkeye in it, and she was the mom. What was I going to say? Oh, speaking of feast infection, which is absolutely what to call gout. I remember first hearing about gout probably early college or something. And people are like, oh, it's like when you get a buildup of crystals in your feet. And it's like what kings used to get. And it's like mm-hmm. because you eat so richly, because you feast so well, mm-hmm. you get crystals in your foot and that's gout. And I remember whoever was telling me about it or wherever I learned it was definitely like, this disease is very rare because people don't eat that way anymore. Right. And then moving to Chicago and immediately meeting and befriending two people who both had gout.
All the time. And you know what? I think it's because they ate too much like deli meat, too much like rich pastrami.
Yeah, cured.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never Salty. Known anyone yeah. in my life who ever gotten a gout. And the same thing. And then I met yeah. two people, and they just had gout offs all the time. They're like, "How are you feeling?" Like
gout flare ups. Like, yeah, they had flare ups of gout.
Huh.
I think Jason blamed his on shrimp. I think he said he ate so much shrimp that is what he think pushed it over the edge.
Yeah, maybe. Shrimp. I don't, yeah. I think it's like, yeah, like cold cuts and, yeah, yeah.
But kids were eating cold cuts and alcohol, of course.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's a combination of things. It's a whole yes. lifestyle. It's
it
not
is a
like,
lifestyle. Yeah. It's a lifestyle.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. You can't be like, oh, club I cut out the shrimp. Like, I'm all good now.
If you're sedentary and, yeah, I think it's definitely yeah. habits. If you go back and look at old-timey cookbooks or like medieval menus or something, mm-hmm. it's the most insane fucking shit you've ever seen. Please go back and
should I Google one right now? Medieval yes. menu.
You mean like the recipe itself or just like the spread?
Yeah,
for
the
a
recipes.
Dinner?
It's like how many cups, dude?
Oh yeah.
Oh, it doesn't say.
No. Yeah. I'm joking. Oh, it's a lot
a furlong of sugar.
Yes, it's a lot of like antelope heart stuffed with the minced meat of a hare.
Oh, I mean, that makes sense because I feel like they were not wasting anything back then.
Yeah, but it's just like bonker shit where it's like we've absolutely it's gotten to the point where obviously we don't even talk about those dishes anymore.
Right,
it's like
right.
those should never be made again.
Well, now we have the
we got a recipe. Ahead.
According to medievalrecipes.com,
somebody at home right now is like, Gary, a hit. We have a hit on the page.
Banquets. Comprised several courses, a starter, some kind of pottage, which I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
Sounds like something that was probably just served in a pot. Like
open that in porridge. A new link real quick and see
maybe
what
like
we
a
got.
Porridge kind of thing?
Types of pottage. The daily staple for just about everyone in medieval times was pottage, especially it was a broth in which meat and or vegetables were boiled, then chopped meat, herbs, and pulses added. There's a lot of shit I don't understand in this.
Pulses. Seems like it was so pre-stew era.
Sounds like stew kind of oatmeal combo. The second course was an array of medieval meat and fish dishes such as venison, wild boar, salmon, and pike. Okay. The main course was exotic presentations of unusual birds such as swans and peacocks.
Oh, and God. Dessert. People eating peacocks?
Have some more unusual bird.
What was the
also,
let's
do
get
to
dessert.
Do you think they called it pottage until one day they were like, hey, Stu, what did you make? And he goes, I don't fucking know. I put it all in a pot. And they go, Stu?
That's what happened. That's history. Dessert was savory and sweet tarts and pastries. Medieval desserts were surprisingly varied. Ice cream was not a medieval dessert.
Who was thinking that? Who was
so
who
I
is that?
Created okay. this. So hold I on, created hold on, hold this on. Medieval. I'm. You gotta let me read this. This
okay.
is nuts.
Okay. Okay.
Note: ice cream was not a medieval dessert. So I created this medieval ice cream recipe for anyone wanting to stage a 21st century medieval banquet. Final okay. course: candied fruit and cheese.
Okay.
So
hold
this
on.
Is an exact replica of a menu from medieval times, except they added ice cream because they know you have to have ice cream.
Wait, from Medieval Times, the dinner and tournament restaurant, or the
actual time period? No, medieval-recipes.com.
I really was hoping that she had to put that note in there because people were always saying, but what about medieval ice cream? She'd be like, look, it wasn't a thing.
Look, get off my ass.
Here's, so I looked up as well, because that was, there was one or two weird things, but for the most part, that was fine. Beaver tails with fish in the middle. So it's like beaver fish wrapped in beaver middle? Tails. Yep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What else do we have here? This is a terrible sight. Roasted peacocks adorned in their own feathers and live pies, which consisted of pastry stuffed with live frogs, served to keep dinner guests delighted and entertained all night long.
So did they eat any part of it, or was it just like we opened it up and frogs jumped frogs out and we all jumping fucking around laughed?
I honestly think I was just flabbergasted by live pies with frogs in it.
I think
I was just flabbergasted.
I mean, it's shocked that these people didn't live past 35, 40.
I mean, they didn't have TV. Like, that's if true. The four of us didn't have TV, and in the last 20 years, I bet one of us would have baked an animal into a pie and served it to the other one.
Yeah, but I wouldn't bake I would never call it a live pie and be like, I baked this pie, and then I put a live animal in it after I baked it.
A roasted cat was served. Singing chicken, which
singing chicken?
What does that even mean?
It's called singing chicken. It was prepared by tying the bird's neck with quicksilver and ground sulfur, which when the bird was reheated, made it sound like it was singing.
They were just bored. It's you're okay. Right.
Lampreys. If you've ever seen a lamprey, oh boy, they look terrifying.
They're very weird.
They would bake those. Sheep penis. Well, that's actually pretty common.
Let's blow past that.
Suck down some of those.
I think a lamb was praying that it didn't have his penis cut off.
They had a dish called garbage. Garbage was made from chicken's head, feet, chicken livers, chicken gizzards, which were stewed in a broth with pepper, cinnamon, cloves, mace, parsley, and sage, and then bread served with ginger, verjuice, salt, and saffron.
That's basically just like a dump cake that we make now.
So did the word garbage exist as a food first, and then we started being like, well, that's a pile of crap in the corner. That's just like the garbage we usually eat.
Yeah, I think there was a guy named Garbage.
Oh, God.
And he's like, I put all this shit together in a Stew's pot, cousin. And like, Stew's garbage, cousin. Stew.
I do like the idea of someone being like, what is this, garbage? And they're like, yes, it is. Thank you so much. They're like, that is garbage. And then one day someone was like, let's change the cadence of how we say this.
Oh, I just love eating your hot garbage.
Yeah. Helmeted cock, a variation on cockatrice. The helmeted cock was prepared by mounting a bird adorned with coats of armors that honored the noble ladies and lords present onto a pig. So they would roast the pig, seat a cock on top of it with armor and a little flag, like it was riding around the roast pig.
Oh. I mean, why aren't we doing that with a turducken now? We should just take a turkey.
Is that a turkey stuffed with Dunkin' Donuts? America runs from Dunkin'.
Honestly, I've been calling it turducken this whole time, and I've not been calling it turducken, I realize now.
Brett, bless your fucking heart, because from now on, I'm serving turducken during
just a turkey stuffed with munchkins.
Yeah,
munchkins, and then I'm gonna have one of those boxes of Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Oh, amazing!
There's a bunch of other weird ones, but I don't want to get too deep in the weeds. Nothing's gonna deep.
I can't imagine they're gonna get much weirder. I mean, how can you get weirder than those?
Yeah, than a chicken in a knight's armor riding a roasted pig.
I think the chicken singing so one is honestly the weirdest to make. Like, it's that weird. Yeah.
Also with that stuff, how does, I mean, I kind of understand the chicken on top of the pig. Like, you're making a little tableau. You're like, oh, look, the way I'm present. It's presentation,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's like medieval Paula Deen came up with it.
Yeah, right. But the singing one, it's like, who was the first person who was like, let's tie something around this chicken's neck, see if it makes a sound. Like, what fucking asshole?
They're just, you know?
Someone's like, hey, cooking is boring. Yes, make these dishes sing. I do think, I gotta hand it to it. I used to be disgusted and grossed out by that. That's why I brought it up. But reading that article, people used to have a lot more fun feasting.
It's true.
That is. Yeah. That beats a bag of double stuffed Oreos.
There's more some sort of games. Lesson here about the accessibility of food and the gluttonous nature of our society.
But if you think about it, similar to our first word, if you've been to a carnival lately, they're doing some pretty wild stuff.
That's true.
They're deep frying Oreos.
Next summer, let's go to carnivals. Let's travel around, make some live pies. Just have a sign that says live pies.
Live pies.
They're like, what is it? This is a.
And they're like, did the frogs fall off? Are these liver pies? No. I was like, you tell me. We're going to, Brett, we're going to have you recap the show in just a minute here, but we do have to, I just need to do one thing. We can cut this out, but I'm just making a quick phone call to Medieval Times here. Give me 1 second. It's ringing.
Hello, you've reached Medieval Times dinner and tournament. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Manager.
You want to talk to a manager.
Yes.
Hold on a second. I'll stop dragging my feet and go get him.
I really had to work dragon in there. I don't think there's dragons at the show.
This is Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. Hi. I dined with you all last Sunday, and I just wanted to...
Great. Thanks for coming. We hope you were the real king of the whole evening.
I tried to get a rose from the knight, but they ignored me. I just want to let you know, I just read an article that says ice cream was not served in medieval times. My family and I were served a sundae at the end of the course, at the of the meal. And I do want to know what we're going to do about that. What are we going to do about that, Glenn?
Well, the next time you come in, if you give me your email address at the end of this conversation, I'll send you a special voucher to get a singing chicken, which is where we throttle a chicken right in front of you at the table. How's that sound, you fucking asshole?
I'm listening. Hold on. Up until the asshole part, you had me. Why did you do that? You soured the deal.
I'm going to come out to your table personally and choke a chicken right in front of you. What do you think of that?
Masturbate, is that what you're saying?
No, literally a chicken. I'm going to choke it right in front of your kids.
Come on, man. Hey, listen, I just wanted to provide
Have you ever watched
time.
A chicken die?
No. Turn tape over.
Oh, this is a recording. Click. Brett, why don't we hear what's playing on the other side of that tape?
Well, on the other side of that tape, you know, we are very appreciative that Matt came on the podcast today, and hopefully he had a wonderful carnival of laughs, of course, and hopefully when he sits down later tonight and puts his ice-cold drink on a coaster, it doesn't stick. And I hope when it doesn't stick, he's flabbergasted as to why it doesn't, because we talked about that. And then maybe he goes into his little refrigerator. I don't know. He might have a regular size refrigerator. Size.
Why does it have to be little?
I don't know. It's just. But he pulls out a big feast, maybe a drumstick or a turkey leg or something that he's waiting. And he said, "You know what? Tonight's the night. Tonight's Matt's night." And then he calls the other Matt Young he knows, and he says, "Hey, Matt, it's me." And he goes, "Who?" And he goes, "It's Matt Young." And he goes, "And
it's the middle of the night. It's Australia, you asshole."
Of course, that turkey he eats is brined overnight in Dunkin' Donuts cold brew, making it a turducken. Before we say goodbye, Google says AdElrefine net worth, and I checked it. This says podcaster from Chicago.
Oh.
$2 million.
Whoa.
Here's the thing.
Nail on the fucking head.
What?
I am so fucking rich. I am... Wow. Bursting at the seams. And this is the only one that
you
doesn't
have
a
quilt draped behind you. It doesn't really scream wealthy.
This is the only one that doesn't have an approximation. It doesn't say like 250,000 to 2 million. It just says straight up 2 million. So it turns out I don't need this podcast. Turns out I'm rich as fuck. So this will be the last episode. Matt, before we go and in this last episode, is there anything you would like to plug, promote, recommend, anything at all?
I do another podcast called Hello from the Magic Tavern. If you're listening to this podcast and you like AdElrefine, you'll probably like that podcast too. And of course, I perform sometimes live with the Improvised Shakespeare Company in Chicago at the IO Theater. So go to the website iochicago.com or ioimprov.com. I don't know the website. And
I don't think they do either.
Yeah,
I think the greatest thing ever is that's been the consistent thing with IO for a million years. Anytime the host Dan, like, and you can always visit the website at IO Comedy. Yeah, just Google IO Theater. I love that. It's just never been a website that stuck with anybody.
No.
Yeah, I think it's ioimprov.com.
I think so too. Yeah.
And you can also just Google Improvise Shakespeare to find out when we're doing shows and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I hope and I pray that the next Improvise Shakespeare show you do, Matt, that you will bring up live pies in some degree.
You have to do
it. Challenge accepted and no problem.
And don't forget, AdElright, if you have a word and you'd like to send it to us, please do so at twapod@gmail.com. Also, if you want to just tell us about a time you were flabbergasted or what you would put in a live pie or what your net worth is, please send the link to let us know.
Rob, the reason I didn't read the email is because I didn't know I was worth $2 million. I had no idea. I thought I was worth way less than that. But so I'm legit quitting the podcast.
That's understandable.
Emails, we're not going to read any emails anymore. So, all right. Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye. Last one.
The Word Association is Brett Lyons, Adil Rafai, and Rob White. The Word Association theme song was written and performed by Arnie Parrott. Editing was done by me, Julia W.D. Harrison. If you'd like to send a word or two along, please email the show at twapod@gmail.com.
Because I remember one that was kind of looked like a UFO, and you would go inside, you would
Gravitron.
Stand up. Okay. And that's Megatron's wife?